Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
As you may know, the DSPCA employs a number of animal welfare officers, and often that work involves rescuing animals being kept in appalling conditions. But not just the animals who are at risk, the officers themselves increasingly have to wear stab vests and body cams. We're joined on News Talk by Gillian Bird from the DSPCA. Good afternoon, Gillian.
Good afternoon.
Now, the animal welfare officers, if they get a call about animals that are kept in poor conditions, do they have legal rights to enter a premises to investigate?
Yeah, they do. Our inspectors are authorised officers under the Animal Health and Welfare Act. So they basically are able to, they have power of seizure, so they can actually seize an animal and take it in, and they will be the leading force in the prosecutions that we take place in. So they do have certain powers, and obviously we work very closely with the guards under certain circumstances where they will ask for guard assistance, or the guards will ask for our assistance if they are coming across a situation where there may be animals involved.
So when you get a report about animals being kept in poor conditions, is it now increasingly the case you have to know a bit more about exactly where they are and whether there's going to be any particular danger to the officers?
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, we can't just get a call that says, oh, there's a dog in a housing estate and it sounds like it's suffering. You know, we'd have to have more precise information, because you can't just arrive at a door and say, well, we believe there is a dog. It could be you or your neighbour or the other person. We need to know more precise details when they do arrive at a house. And that can be sometimes difficult for people to understand. But, when somebody in a DSPCA vehicle arrives in the DSPCA uniform and they are inspectors authorised under the law, it can be quite intimidating. And you don't want to be arriving at the wrong door and basically accusing somebody of having an animal that is being mistreated. So it is important that we get as much information as possible before the inspectors actually go out.
And is there some method to try and get perhaps some corroborating evidence before you turn up at somebody's doorstep?
Normally what happens is the people who are actually concerned and have made the reports, they have thought long and hard about it, and they usually have agonised over whether or not they're going to report. So they usually have a lot of details. And in an ideal situation, you'll get to actually talk to the person making the complaint on the phone, so you can get as much information as possible. The ones that are very upsetting is where you just get a letter in the post, which gives you the rough area, and somebody saying, oh, there's a dog in Dundrum that's not being looked after properly, and you really want to help, but you've no more information other than the fact it's in Dundrum, and there's nothing you can do about it. So it is really important that anybody who's reporting cruelty gives us as much information as possible. And that information will then help the inspectors to know what sort of situation they're going into as well, because a lot of it will have to do with knowing from where the cruelty report is coming from and where they're going to, as to whether or not maybe they need the second person with them. Is there potential they might need the guards? Is this going to be a bogus call, which is another one of the huge issues that we deal with, which are bogus calls, people just ringing up out of the blue. We had a horrendous one the other day where somebody telling us, you know, this dog living in appalling conditions in a back garden in the heat, sweltering, passed out more or less, and we arrive and it's a lovely, happy, friendly, loved dog. You know, so people do use us sometimes, unfortunately. So you really just never know. When the inspectors arrive at a door, they really don't know, but they have to assume that it's going to be okay.
Yes. And so when somebody rings in with a report like that, and if they wish to remain anonymous, then I assume you have to respect that.
Absolutely. And that's what we do say to people, that because, you know, a lot of people would be scared to report cases of cruelty because it could be a neighbour, it could be a family member. They could already have got into a major fight with the person because of what is basically something that's upsetting them about the pet. So we do accept a lot of calls anonymously, and that's the problem. If you weren't taking calls anonymously, you probably wouldn't get half the calls that we actually do.
Right. OK, so when your officers turn up, what kind of resistance can they experience?
Well, a lot of the time when they arrive at a house, there's actually nobody there or nobody who's willingly answering the door. So what they can do is they can leave a calling card to ask somebody to call back. And if they don't call back within a day, they will actually go back out to the premises again. They can talk to the neighbours and find out, is there somebody around? Because sometimes it can be a legitimate case but there isn't somebody there. Maybe somebody's gone into hospital or something, especially at the moment. So they will do that. they will basically try and speak to the people. And people in most situations are actually either shocked that they've arrived and are like, no, no, there's nothing wrong with my dog here, have a look. Mm. Or in some situations where there is a dog that is neglected, the people are often shocked but so relieved that in some ways they've been found out or somebody's reported them, that they've been so embarrassed to ask for help that often a lot of the times people are, oh, thank God, someone's here already, thank you, that's brilliant, now maybe I can get some help, or I was too embarrassed to ask in the past. So you do get that situation sometimes, and it's only very rarely that you would have a situation where people be really, really on the defensive. And a lot of that is because they can be very embarrassed, but they can also be a situation where they genuinely are an animal lover and they've just got themselves into a mess.
Yeah. Do you get, not to sound too trite about this, a bit of repeat business? Do addresses pop up and you go, we've dealt with these people before?
Yes, unfortunately we do. There would be a few addresses now that the inspectors, it might be a couple of years past, but yes, there would definitely be, you can't call them repeat offenders, but you'd certainly have cases where they would have been out to before and they would have had chats. One of the great things that the new legislation does for our inspectors is it actually allows them to issue what they call a notice of improvement. So it's a legal document, but it's telling people, look, your dog is a bit skinny, but it's not so bad at the moment that it's cruelty. But we're advising you to, you know, increase its food, bring the animal to the vet, get it checked up. And these notices of improvements are actually a lot less threatening than the way it used to be, where you had to wait until an animal was nearly dying in a back garden before you'd intervene. So in some ways, the new legislation is much, much better when it comes to that, because we can step in and help animals earlier, and it becomes less confrontational, I think, for the owners versus the inspectors.
But as things stand now, occasionally you do have to say we're going to send more than one person here, and occasionally they do have to wear stab vests and body cams.
Absolutely. And the body cams are a fantastic tool from the point of view of taking prosecutions, because they are a camera that cannot be tampered with. So any footage that's filmed on it is actually evidence for the courts, because it cannot be tampered with. It's particular whatever way the film is actually written to the camera. So it is actually fantastic when it comes to evidence. But the inspectors also use body cams from time to time, because they can turn them on and off when they want to, for filming things like a swan release, or, you know, if they have to rescue a hedgehog out of a football net or something interesting like that. So sometimes the footage that we actually get that we post up on our social media has actually come from the webcam, because it's the only way the inspectors can catch the moment sometimes of when they're doing stuff. So not only does it have legal assistance for us for court cases and dealing with the initial sort of shock effect of if you arrive at a premises and find an animal in appalling conditions, it actually can be quite beneficial as well.
Do you get abuse on the phone at all?
Oh, yes, quite a bit, yeah. Now, I do the phones from time to time, and it's not as bad now, but I mean, you do get people who can be quite aggressive on the phone. We kind of have a bit of an internal policy, which is if somebody starts cursing down the phone at you, you can sort of say, look, please stop that, otherwise I will have to hang up on you. And if they continue, then we hang up, because really, nobody should have to take abuse like that. But yes, absolutely. And it can be something simple like, you know, somebody ringing up and saying, oh, there's a fox in my back garden, I don't want it there, it scares me and my dog, come and remove it. And you're like, I'm sorry, we don't do that. The animal isn't sick or injured, and it's you know, it's not a risk to anybody. And they can get really, really aggressive, going, well, I don't want it here, it's not my animal, I don't want it. And they can be quite nasty down the phone. And some people make nice personal comments to you, but luckily it's not too bad. There's only been in the last couple of years a couple of situations where I've hung up on people, but I prefer not to. I prefer to kind of educate them where possible, to explain why we are not actually coming out to help them remove a healthy fox that's happily living with its cubs in their garden. You know, but yes, you can. And you have to be a little bit hard sometimes and just not take offence at people and understand that they're upset and they don't want it. But we also have a situation, people who often if we have taken animals or think we've taken their animals, they may have been seized by the dog wardens or the horse wardens, coming up and being very aggressive, wanting to get their animals back. And actually, at the moment, they just meet us in the car park. But in the past, they may have got into reception, but usually we try not to let them pass that area into where more of the public are. But you do, from time to time, get it. And yeah, it can be quite, it can be upsetting, but it's also as upsetting as much to see somebody be that agitated.
Yeah.
When you know that they're probably not normally like that.
Yeah, indeed. Gillian, thanks a million for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
And you and all your officers, stay safe. And just for the record, by the way, ISPCA reports similar experiences for their members too. Anyway, you are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. We're going to take a break after that. TV on the radio.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.